Father, you said in Psalm 33, verse 12, that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we believe right now that this nation's heart is turned back to you now, that there is more than just a righteous remnant here now. There's a bunch of people that are praying and calling upon you now, and you have turned now, and you are healing our land. And it's just, we are so grateful to be a part and to witness what's happening here. And knowing that the prayers that we've done have not gone unheard or unanswered. It's just exciting to see what's going on here right now, Lord. And we can gather together like this in a church service and have such a freedom here that we'll never, in this country, that we'll never take for granted. We thank you for all the people that are guaranteeing that freedom this evening, wherever they're standing, a post or watch. All our military people, we just ask you to watch over them this evening and comfort those that have been wounded in any way, our wounded warriors, and raise them up off the bed of affliction. And comfort the Gold Star families that have paid the ultimate price of lost a son or a daughter in this war, Father. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word and partake of it this evening. I ask that you anoint my lips and my tongue, and I speak your word, and it finds very good ground this night in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. Ready to be seated. When last we met, oh my, our hero was in prison. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 12. We'll start there a little bit. Buddy, you doing okay? This is awesome. Amen. Let's do a little bit of review, because this is like the third time I've done this, fourth time I've started to do this, and we just can't get past a couple of things, which is fine. If that's what the Holy Spirit wants, I have no problem with that. We're not under any kind of time restraints or anything. We just want to get all we can get out of God's word. Amen. But up to this point now, first in the very first few verses, it talks about Herod, King Herod, the authority of that time in that area, has stretched forth his hand now to vex the church or to give the church big time problems, is what he's doing. Okay? And he's killed some people. And you know, it's amazing, he killed some Jewish people, and it made the Jewish hierarchy, they were glad about that. So because they were happy to see this, some of the people killed in a way they've been tortured and pretty well beaten up, he decided to put Peter in prison also. Okay? So that's where we've gotten to, that's about as far as we've gotten. So we can start reading in verse 5, we'll just start briefly, and then there's a couple things we need to talk about tonight, because I promised you that every time I do this, I'm going to try to bring something to the pulpit that's happening relative right now in the news, and where the church is going to fit in, where we're going to fit in, and we're going to fit in huge here in the next few months, more than we have in quite some time, I think. But Peter was therefore kept in prison. But get a hold of this church, and we have to get a hold of this, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer. Heartfelt prayers. Depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, as some said earnest, some said heartfelt, some said continual fervent prayer. There's all kinds of, but it conveys the one single message is that they are prayers that are offered up continuously. You don't have to be at home kneeling down in your prayer closet. You can live a prayer lifestyle. I mean, you can be praying anytime, anywhere. Doesn't matter what the situation is. And it's a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle, not just something that you do when the emergency light goes on and there's a bad report or something scary has happened or something has gripped you with fear or whatever, and now all of a sudden you need to run to God with it. It's a whole lot easier to run to him. And you don't have to run to him with a constant, I want, I want, I want, but how about just thank you? Just thank you.
Amen.
Amen. That's probably the best thing. You know, those of us that are parents and grandparents, man, there's nothing like the kids run into you and say, hi, Pap, sure love you. And kids look at you and say, I love you. Psst. Yeah, everything, a hand opens up, everything, whatever you need, whatever you want. And maybe grandma more so than me. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it doesn't have to be this long, flowery prayer and, you know, in the King's English and everything. God doesn't, he's not into all that. He just wants to have a conversation with his kids. Just have a talk. Just go talk to him. And besides that, he knows everything you need before you ask for it anyway. He just wants you to come and say hi. What's wrong with that? So let's talk about constant prayer just for a minute here. And I'm sorry about this. This microphone and this voice of mine has a tendency to boom a little bit. Let's hold your place. We're going to come back. Obviously, that's our text. This is Acts chapter 12. But let's go to 1 Timothy. We're going to talk about something real important here. First Timothy, chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. You cannot get away from having a grateful heart. It is the basis for everything. Just being grateful. You know, the 10 lepers were cleansed and only one came back. Jesus said, where are the 9? Don't be in that 9. Please don't be in that 9. You've got too much teaching. Well, you know, not too many things, good things are happening to me. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Exclamation point. If nothing else happens, that's for the brief time that we're here. Therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all conservative men. All the people in your party. All the people attend the church, your church only, because your church is the church. Mine says for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now here's a key, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's good enough for me. If it's good in God's sight, that's good enough for me. Amen. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if you're up to current times, what's happening right now, you know we had a Supreme Court judge. Forgive me for using the word Supreme Court. There is only one Supreme Court and one Supreme Judge, and that's our Lord and Savior. But since man has to throw out titles, we say the word Supreme Court. One is retired, one's about to be nominated. Excuse me, one has been named, is going to go through a nomination process or a process of an examination to be confirmed as a judge. Does anybody know his name? Brett Kavanaugh. Who is this man? Well, I guess he's got a pretty good history of jurisprudence, if you will, of legislating from the bench and things that he's done. He has a pretty good background, very conservative man. He's about to have the fury of God, or the fury of hell released on him, and he's going to need the power of God to help him get through this, let me tell you. Now, a couple things. The first thing that everybody's heard about is he's pro-life guy, so now they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. Okay? First of all, Roe versus Wade, bad law. It's not in the Constitution. You can't find it anywhere. This was made up. And then it was obviously put into law, right? Abortions, legal or illegal, are going to take place until people's hearts are changed. That's what's going to do it. If it is overturned, then it's going to revert back to the states. But here's the thing. Men and women's hearts have to be changed. But it's a national sin right now because we did it nationally. Our government officials said this is okay. God judges nations for what they do. This is part of our healing process. I really believe that. Now, you're going to hear a whole lot about this stuff. Well, I'll tell you, the protests have started already. If you haven't seen them, they're absolutely sickening. But it's really, really, really amazing to me. The amount of hypocrisy, first of all, is just almost overwhelming. But here's a group of people screaming for their right to abort babies. And they're upset. This is the same group of people that are upset because families are being separated at the border who are coming here illegally. Now, the greatest separation that can take place is a mom from her child. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? It's important. This is important stuff. With this judge, it's about to be, with the grilling he's about to go through, this man is going to need the wisdom of God to be upon him right now. And in fact, you know what? Would you stand? We're going to pray for this man, and here's what we're going to do. We are going to believe. Let's do it this way. Father, we know right now our prayer has been for righteous men and women to be in positions of authority in this nation. And we believe, Father, you're honoring that prayer right now. Now, as Brett Kavanaugh goes before the Senate and all the people that are going to be asking him questions, Father, I ask that the wisdom of God be upon this man, that the word of God and the wisdom of God just flow through him, that when he speaks, that the wisdom and knowledge that comes out of him, men will not be able to stand before it. They won't be able, and whatever criticized, whatever the fault findings, they will be silenced. Father, we believe that this man is the man that you've called for this hour. We just ask that your hand be upon him. And we thank you, Father, for all the people that are going to support him right now. And we believe he's going to be, no weapon formed against him is going to prosper. And we believe this man's going to be on what we call our Supreme Court right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you have to offer that prayer up every day. I really believe it now. I don't, because what he's about to go through is going to be almost unimaginable. But it's not greater than God. Amen. And be seated again. James chapter 5 tells us, verses 16 through 18, that the prayers of the righteous availeth much, make much power available. 1 Thessalonians, and only because of time, I'm not going, we read these before. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 22. We were to pray without ceasing. And you've heard me say this many times. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and something's beyond my heart. I don't even ask any question about it. I just pray. God wants you to pray for them. Just do it and release it and thank God for the answer to it. Okay, so, all right, we'll go back to Acts chapter 12. Peter was therefore kept in prison, and prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. This is another thing I just can't get past. But you know, when you think about it, Peter's in prison. This is not his first time. This is not his second time. It is actually his third time. You know, the teaching Pastor Bannon did on the circle of experience, this is part of the circle of experience. Because, you know, I know we're not supposed to forgetting the things that are behind us, but the victories that God's brought into your life, you really can't forget, because that's part of the circle of experience, because it's a confidence that you have, that you build up in God. That, okay, man, we did this before. We got through this. Okay. Well, here's Peter. It's the third time in prison. And he's escaped twice. And you know, Herod knows this story, right? So not only is he in prison, they got 16 people guarding, 16 soldiers guarding him. He's chained to two of them, one in each hand. They've got four standing outside the prison itself, so none of his friends or buddies or anybody can get in and break him out of there. Hold your place, or let's jump to Proverbs. I told you we're going to do Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, jump down to verse 21. It says, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes." The them being sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Sounds like Psalm 91, right? When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will. You will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. In the midst of all kinds of turmoil, I'm sure we've all gone through this, whether it's whatever it is we're going through. Doesn't matter if it's sickness and disease you're battling, financial problems, prodigal sons and daughters out running around and not living the life they should be living. Whatever that has concerned you. If you've ever just had to, have you ever lied awake, just stare at the ceiling? Before you know it, it's 1 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're, you know, and the mind's running 100 miles an hour. It's just, you know, and then you got to get a hold of yourself. Say, wait a minute. That's when you go back to the first part of Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understanding, because you're not understanding everything clearly, especially when things are going wrong. But you know, you can get panicky. I remember once, not too long ago, my granddaughter got lost in a crowd of people and there was a panic for a few minutes. Didn't think your mind could run 100 miles an hour like that in all in different directions. She's fine, obviously. But sure got the blood pressure up. Sure got the eyeballs locked open. Sure got a frantic, I mean frantic state. Amazing. It's just amazing. Well, that's how this stuff can come on you. It happened so quickly, it was on us before we knew it. This is how the enemy wants to work. He wants to come on you, and when you're trying to get some rest, and your eyes are locked open, and your mind is running 100 miles an hour, and you think, there's just no way out, there's just no way, there's just no way. This is the situation Peter's in right now. There's no way out. He's chained to guards. They're going to bring him out in the morning to kill him. Not to smack him on the wrist, not to rebuke him. They're going to kill him. He knows it, and this is what everybody's expecting, to do all the Jews expected to do with him. Back to Acts. And he's asleep. My man is asleep. A sweet sleep, too, by the way. Think about this also. If you've been in that situation, maybe you've been in a hospital or whatever, and you've got a group of people that are, you know, the saints are praying for you, the church is praying for you. Have you ever had just a calm come over you? That's the prayers, man. That's the prayers being answered right there. I mean, there's a calmness that comes under your spirit that can only be explained through prayers of people. And then the Holy Spirit just ministering to your heart because of the prayers that have gone up for you, probably continuously. This is what's happening with Peter right now. Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers. Jack was nice enough to play Aretha Franklin's Chain, Chain, Chain for me when I walked in tonight. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison because they're not letting anything happen. Nobody's getting in. Nobody's getting out. This is just how it is. It's locked up. It's as secure as they could have made it at that time. Now behold, here we go. An angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter, one of the, I think it's the Amplified, says gently on the side, struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Okay? Remember I had they dropped them, they're clanging chains, one on each hand. I mean, you know, if you move or sneeze or whatever, you're going to wake the guards up. That's just how it is. You're in a prison. It's echoey. And where'd the light come from? You know, Peter didn't have a hurricane lantern with him, or you know, one of those magnetic lanterns and tack lights or whatever. When God comes on the scene, there's light. Nothing's hidden. Isn't that cool? Jeez, So the angel stood beside him. Okay, wakes him up, and his chains fall off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." When God tells you to follow him, it's a good idea to follow him. Amen. So, we're going to take a break from the Apostle Peter, and we're going to talk a little bit about angels tonight, because I got a chance to do a study on angels. And what was the name of that video, Dean, so I can just tell everybody? Angel Flight. Yeah, we couldn't get it transferred to here, but you have to see the video. Look up on your not-so-smart smartphones, and look up Angel Flight, and you're going to see the C-130, and it creates an angel that's an impressive, is it not impressive, Roberta, looking being? Yeah, it's cool. Eleanor found it for me, and she said, because I'm so computer savvy, she said, you know, everybody else saw this except for you. Well, it turns out nobody else saw it, my dear, as I'm learning now. Okay, let's talk a little bit about angels, because angels are so cool. Angels in the Bible are referred to 198 times, somewhere in the Bible. They've appeared to mankind, because there are women involved. They're also 104 times. Hebrew word for angel. And so I don't mess it up too bad. It's M-A-L-A-K, Malak. Malak. To dispatch as a deputy is what this word means. A messenger, an ambassador. The Greek word is angelos, like in Los Angeles. Angelos. To bring tidings, or a messenger. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. This scripture has always, always fascinated me. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Angels are spiritual beings created by God. And as we read some different accounts here, they have physical attributes, obviously. They have hands. They're able to move things, touch things, bring things, take things away. And they're obviously impressive-looking beings, because more often than not, the first thing out of their mouth is, don't be afraid. You've heard me say this many times, right? Because you're going to stand there slack-jawed and probably fall over, as the Bible says, as a dead man. The study on angels, you just want to study that in the Bible. That will take you the better part of the next few years just to comprehend everything that's written about them. But this is the New Testament. This always fascinated me. Let brotherly love continue. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 13. And do not forget, or be mindful, I think, is what King James says. One of them says to be mindful, to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, we can all hearken back to all the days of our Bible school teachings and what we've learned here and when angels have appeared. And I'm sure everybody knows, has all the accounts memorized. Throw some at me. Who did angels appear to? Mary. And her husband said, don't divorce her. This is what's happening. That's probably the one most everybody remembers, right? Come on, there's some angels. There's a bunch of angels in the Bible. The shepherds? Who said shepherds? Okay. Well, Peter, obviously, he's having one. These ones appearing to him right now. Oh, you don't know too much about angels, huh? Okay, who was in the lion's den? What did the angels do? Shut the mouth of the lions, right? Who was in the fiery furnace? No. That's the world name. Let the world name you. Sure, everybody remembers Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they're God-given names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We're in the fiery furnace also, right? Come on, who else did the angel? Now, you got to remember, in the Bible, sometimes it says the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord ordinarily is in capital letters, and it will denote one of the members of the Trinity showing up. God himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, one of the three are showing up there. And when they appeared to Abraham, all three were there. Right? So these are the accounts that we can remember. One stood beside Paul during the ship, when the ship was being tossed to and fro. One of the first angels to appear to a lady was, Old Testament, so older, not before Sarah, because God spoke to Sarah and she laughed. How about Hagar? Did not an angel minister to Hagar? That's the whole Arab nation. That's where all the battles started right there. So there's a lot, we have a lot of accounts to read about. Now, for sake of time, we're not going to read about all of them, but one of the ones that you don't hear too much about, we go to the book of Judges, and we'll read about a pretty cool guy here. Judges chapter 6. That's in the Old Testament. I bumped into that. Judges chapter 6. And we won't have to, I'm not going to worry about reading the first few verses, because we're going to start in verse 6. But to bring you up to speed, you'll never guess what Israel's done. They have turned their back on God. What a surprise, right? Israel has decided to ignore God's promptings and commandments and everything he told them to do. And now they're in the jackpot, as will happen when you decide to walk away from God. So here we go. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Not only were they just crying out, you talk about prayers, constant prayers. This is a prayer. These are people are praying. They are in trouble. They're in big trouble. And here's why. And it came to pass that when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, and the prophet said to them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you out from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you," because Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So he's delivering people who are being oppressed, "and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Ammonites, in whose land you will dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." This is the shortest rebuke God's ever done to Israel. He didn't enumerate everything. He just said, "You didn't obey me." This is the first time a prophet's been sent in the Bible. Not prophecies now, but an actual prophet was sent to confirm God's word. He sent. First time it's been done. It's being done here right now. And when he said you're not supposed to fear the gods of the Ammonites, he meant not fear like a fear, but not to praise them, not to worship them, not to sacrifice to them. Any gods in your life that you're doing it to? Anything before God's word in your life? Anything. And you can't understand maybe why your prayers aren't being answered, because you've decided that everything is more important. You know, I love the Lord with all my heart, strength, might. Okay, but he's like fourth, fifth, sixth on the list. You can't even see me so far back in line in some people's lives. Please don't let that happen to you. But this is what Israel's done. The exact opposite of what God told them to do. And now they're in big trouble. Here's the kind of trouble they're in. Said, "But you have not obeyed my voice." Here we go. "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a taberith tree," it's an oak tree, "which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizarite. That might be right. "Well, his son Gideon," anybody heard of Gideon? Did you know the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon? There you go. You might have known it, but you probably forgot it, because I didn't remember it. "Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press." Not on the threshing floor, but in the wine press. And here's why. "In order to hide it from the Midianites." Them people that were coming down and taking everything. They said they came down like hordes of locusts. They took everything that Israel produced. Everything. They figured, we'll never look in the wine press because there's no grapes in Israel anyway. They took it all. This is what he's doing. And now the angels appeared to Gideon, who's working. Again, you can't get away from that in the Bible. Every time God appeared to somebody, they were in the midst of doing something. You know, whether it's It doesn't matter. Joshua, he was a doer. I mean, guys were doing something. They weren't just sitting around. They weren't on vacation. God called them off the beach. No, it didn't happen like that. The apostles were fishermen. They were all working. Someone was a tax collector. You know, it's just doctor. I mean, they were working. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." That's a pretty good salutation. God call you man or woman, a mighty man of valor. Now listen to what Gideon does. And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord." Now I'll tell you what, I'll read this through and I'll tell you how I think he said it. "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Now, first of all, Gideon has got it backwards. God didn't depart from them. They departed from God. Okay? And I read this over, and the next statement, "Then the Lord turned and said to him, Go in this might of yours." Meaning, I think he was angry, Dean. I mean, fist clenched, teeth grinding, angry. Why is this happening to us? Where are all these great stories I heard about? And God's looking at us and says, you know what? This guy's on fire here a little bit. He's upset. He wasn't shaking his fist at God. He was just, all this stuff has happened to him. And the Lord turned and said to him, "Go this in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel?" Here come the excuses. We've all offered these up. "Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." He's saying that their defeat is going to be so utter and total, it's going to be just like you struck down one man. This is a nation that is numbered like locusts. And other nations are with them also. Then he said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign, that it is you who talks with me. And do not depart from me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." In other words, he said, "Listen, Lord," he said, "okay, I've said all this. I need a sign, but don't go. I'm going to fix you something. I'm going to bring an offering out to you. Please don't go." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." This is the Lord speaking to him. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat, an unleavened bread from the ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and then he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to the Lord, obviously, under the oak tree, and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth on it." And he did so. See, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham, they actually sat down and ate the meal. They actually ate with them. And the two of them said, "You know, we got to go. We're going to head on down to Sodom and Gomorrah and see if things are really as bad as we're hearing through these prayers." Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And you thought your gas grill was cool. One rock, and they just touched it. So look at this now. There goes another thing about angels being physical beings. There's the angel. He's got a staff in his hand. Didn't say why he had to stab it. It represents authority, obviously, when Moses had it. Amen? Then the Lord said to him, now he's gone from him bodily, but he's still speaking to him. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Now, you know, back in those days, the superstition of that time was that if any man ever saw God or saw God's face, he would die. People actually believed it. Nobody ever died from seeing God's face. And nobody ever will. Now, Moses had to be shielded because of the glory was so powerful. He didn't die in God's presence. Silly, huh? So God's taking the time. This is the area that Gideon's living in now. He's taking the time to say, hey, Gideon, you're not going to die now because you've seen me. We've talked that you're not going to die. To be that concerned about it, he didn't have to say that to him. He just departed from him. He said, you're not going to die. He said, peace be with you, and do not fear, you shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. First time that term is used. The Lord is the Lord of peace, and the Lord is peace. To this day, it's still in Oprah. Still stands. So now, we can go back to the book of Acts. The story, that doesn't end there with Gideon. But for time's sake, we can't read the next chapter and a half. But he does ultimately defeat, through God's power, this whole entire nation because God made them hear noises among themselves. They took swords to each other. Brother turned against brother in that camp. And Gideon did it with only 300 people. Of the thousands and thousands of Israelites, God said, listen, we're not going to use all these people because they don't look like you did it. I'm paraphrasing. He said, we're going to whittle this down a little bit. So he did. And through he got down to the final 300 of the people that actually lapped the water up instead of got down on their knees and drank water. Got down to 300 people. That's the army that Gideon had. They were blowing trumpets and doing all kinds of things. I mean, it was not what the men of war had learned. It was just the absolute power of God. It was apparent. But you have to go down to read that. And then, you know, again, he wasn't happy with just seeing God. He said, well, no, if this is your will, if this is going to happen, I'm going to put a fleece on. If it gets wet, then I know it's okay. The days of putting fleeces out are done. As Pastor S said, you will get fleeced. Put out a fleece, you'll get fleeced. You know, one morning he wanted the fleece to be wet. One morning he wanted it to be dry and everything else around it to be wet. And God did it twice and said, okay, we're done with all this. But the story of Gideon is a pretty cool story. But again, if Israel would have just did what God asked them to do, he gave them the land, they never possessed it. Instead of them possessing the land, they let the land possess them through all their gods and all their sacrifices and all the things that were just against what God wanted for his people. Back to Acts chapter 12. Okay, so the angel of the Lord has appeared to Peter now. He's waking him up. Chains fall off him. Okay, the angel says to him, you know, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. He's telling him, get dressed. And so he did, and he said to him, you know, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him. Now, this is me in prison. Okay, the chains have fallen off. I'm standing there in amazement. Here's an angel. He's telling you, put on your shoes, put on your coat, and gird yourself, and here we go. And follow me, and they're heading out. And I said, wait a minute. I just have to ask something here. These guys are all asleep. Yeah, they're not going to wake up. I mean, chains fell. They didn't wake up, right? Light, they didn't wake up. Yeah. They're asleep. You got a pen on you? Yeah, I got another one of that. One is chained. Drawing a mustache on one guy, right? Right. Little eyeballs here, maybe a little few selfies with the rabbit ears behind the guard's head. Nobody's going to believe this story. That would have been me. I didn't see. We have to have some. And the angel would have been going, you know, yeah. God warned me about this, but this is what we have to do, right? I mean, these guys, he was chained to these guys. Come on. The rabbit ears behind him would have been a little photo bombing. You know, it's just great stuff in prison. That's why this doesn't happen today, because it just. There's the support from my wife who said I don't photo bomb anybody. oh, my. Okay, So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, because we're not done talking about angels yet. Sorry, I didn't mean to get silly, but that thought came to me. I said, I'd have to do something to them cards. And they just walked out. Well, they were going to be in big trouble anyway, as you will find out here shortly. If we ever get to that tonight, if we just quit fooling around here. Actually, we're not fooling around. I think this is what God wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 1. If I can get it back, if I can get this thing to go there. What's that? We have to enjoy. If God has a sense of humor, the fact that I'm standing up here doing this is pretty apparent. And he has a great sense of humor. Hebrews chapter 1, look down to verse 13. A few more things about angels before we get back to this. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Talking about the angels, are they all not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? That is us, folks. Amen. You have a group of angels that are just waiting to do work for you. And I'm talking about if you get a flat tire, and angels change that tire. That's foolish presumption. But I'm talking about when you get up in the morning, if you're not praying and asking God to humbly ask God to loose the angels to go ahead of you in the name of Jesus to make your path straight and safe every day and around your kids and around your grandkids, around your family. If you're not doing it, you should do that. I ask them to do that for my business. I ask them to do that for the business people in this church. I ask them to go forth and bring customers and business in. I'm not asking them to kill anybody or not. I believe that they do that every day for us. We see new people all the time. You know, and to entertain strangers unaware that you might be entertaining angels, you think about, I think about some of the people that have walked into my shop. And that's the only reason I can, this is what happens to me. People walked in, not dressed up, maybe not the most clean looking people. Some probably on something. That we have the police stations next to us. We have a pretty impressive parade that goes by us every day. And people have stopped in. Brother, I don't have any money. Can you spare some water or something? Absolutely, take some, whatever you'd like. Or hungry, we've fed people. Eleanor can tell you this, we've done this. People just walk in. We've had people abuse it, obviously. I had a young man come in. They were on some I don't say it's welfare, is kind of a bad way to say it, but back in the day, that's what they were called. And once a month, when the check came in the first of the month, they were in our pizza shop, and they would buy 1 liter of bottles of pop and just until all their money was spent, and we would try to tell them, you got to watch your... And then they would have no money in the middle of the month, end of the month, and my dad would give them the pizza, and then it would start a tab, and they would say, well, can we pay us back? No, you know, you guys need the food. All right, don't worry about it. I hadn't seen the family for a while. Young man walked in and said, told me he was hungry. I said, you want some pizza? No, can I have a sandwich? Absolutely. So I'm making this young man a sandwich. Now he's complaining about how I'm making him a sandwich. And I'm not kidding you. He told me what to do, what not to do. Don't be cheap on the meat. He said, don't be cheap on the meat putting on the sandwich. I'm feeding him like he's my family member. I'm putting the best of everything. He got no second. When we give something away, we give nothing away at seconds. Michelle, it's messed up or something that's not quite right, I'll eat it. But nobody under any circumstances, customer or if we're giving away, gets anything except the very best that I've got to give. So this is... I don't know who I'm entertaining. Thanks, Jack. I don't know who I'm entertaining. Doesn't matter to me. This is what God's put on my heart. But I'm sure I've entertained some angels who walked in and see just what this guy's going to do. Is he really living what he's saying he's living? And we've been very fortunate. God has blessed us immensely. I've had so many people say, well, you just can't give stuff away like that. You'll never make any money. You'll never prosper. I said, that's the only way to prosper. And it's like, tilt. Because they don't understand this. Because not everybody's taught like we're taught here. We take so much for granted. Yeah, this really is an oasis. This really is a teaching school. If you'll just operate your family business, your other businesses, the way that you've been taught in this church, you'll prosper. And no, you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. And I don't give it to get. That was never been a motive of mine. And Bobby Jr. can tell you that with his business. Anybody that's a business person here that gives. I have young people come in and ask me about starting a business. Can you give me some advice? Sure. You know, first of all, it's not a big money commitment. You'll think that's going to be the biggest problem. It is not. It's a time commitment. And we're going to go through all the things. And I said, but the one thing, if I can tell you anything, Be generous. And they kind of just look at it, just be generous, whether you're giving food away, a service, whatever, just be generous, because it'll always come back to you. Given, it shall be given. And that's, you know, and so there's some entrance there to talk about the Bible. So, you know, so God uses that little pizza shop as a place of ministry, which is a prayer every day. And we're not going to get any, we're not even going to get Peter out of prison yet, because he stopped to draw mustaches and rabbit ears behind the guards, because we're out of time for this evening. Well, all right, we'll get started. We're gonna continue this. And meanwhile, my angels stand there going, just shaking their heads, going, you know, we knew he couldn't do it straight. Well, hey, listen, you've been very attentive. Thank you very much. We'll close a little bit of prayer. If you have need of prayer, please come up and we'll be. But we're going to pick this up. We are not done with this. Amen.